All right, welcome back. Second half hour tonight. Who's talking? Jim Hopgood, Frank Maloney. Chris Sill is in the studio, but our guest in studio is Terry Gates, finishing up with a little conversation with Terry about basketball. And don't forget, in a few minutes, we'll be joined by the Sabres' Chris Wright. I think we'll talk football with Chris about all the developments here in the last 48 hours over in Charlottesville. But Terry, let's just maybe talk a moment about the ACC. I know it's early. Obviously, guess what? Duke looks pretty good again, even though NC State was picked to win the league. How do you see it shaking out?
Well, you know, Duke has some, I hate to use the term great senior leadership, but because someone used to use that quite a bit down in that neck of the woods. But, you know, with Plumlee and with Kelly and the Curry, you know, that's a nice three kids to have in those system. And you've seen their success this year so far versus what Carolina and what NC State have had, because they've got some young guys with a basketball in their hands, and it's a process. Kentucky's another one. You take a converted two-guard, make a point guard out of them, you play some of the best teams in the country in November, things don't always turn out like you hope they would.
Yeah, the old Al McGuire line is still true. The best thing about a freshman is they eventually become a sophomore.
Right.
You know, so no substitute for experience. But, and the other thing about Duke is they've played some quality opposition early. So they've been tested and they've passed so far.
Well, I think that's one reason you go to Duke, because they have their cupcakes like everyone else. But they are on national TV quite a bit in November and December. And good games, good opponents. And, you know, they're very competitive in those. But it's just tough now. It's nice to have a system and with some players in there that have been in that system for a couple of years.
This always makes Frank happy. The Hokies are 7-0. Are they the real deal, or is it early?
You know, they look to be enjoying themselves. It's been a very easy, a lightweight schedule, but they won their Big East game. They do have some players down there, and I think they've had some inside players that have been on the team for a while been hurt. The Reigns kids from Petersburg.
He's a player.
Yeah, I mean, he has progressed. And it went, Greenberg, a lot of people didn't like him and whatever. He was really hard on him. He pushed him. But there was some players in that system, and now you have a different coach, Johnson, who's being, taking the opposite effect and trying to lift them up. And once again, they have an 8 scholarship player, so everyone knows what they're supposed to do on a team. They know they're going to play in time.
And it's working. I mean, Eric Green is one of the better guards in the league.
No question.
Well, you got to give him credit for beating Oklahoma State the other night.
Yeah.
Interesting thing, though, is NC State is stumbling a little bit. And Carolina, every time I've turned them on this year, I've seen massive breakdowns, particularly on fast break defense. It's like nobody knows where their man is. Now, do they have talent? Yes. Do they have good coaches? Yes. Will it get fixed? Most likely, right? But I think one thing that people have underestimated, and that's how Virginia got fourth place in the league last year during the regular season, is Bennett's system is working. It's clearly working. His defense is working. Teams are shooting field goal percentage. In the ACC, Virginia is always tops. And as he adds offensive components, and clearly they haven't turned Justin Anderson loose yet. He's capable of having points if he's turned loose some. Harris is going to have help as the season goes on. Noldy is a basketball player. And when Sean Singletary was on the show, he made the comment that this was a high basketball IQ group of true freshmen that had come in.
Well, I think that's the kind of kid that Coach Bennett looks for, is a high basketball IQ.
And that's going to pay off.
He's got a little side. He's a perimeter player, but it can go inside if he has to. But, being 6'8", it gives you a little step ahead of being 6'5", 6'6".
But then you add Anderson is running around on the perimeter, and there's nobody guarding him that's built like he is. He's either going to be too quick for a taller player on him, or they're going to be too small and not strong enough, and he'll be able to post up. And this is going to be the player in time, whether it's this year towards the end of the year or the beginning of next year. Bennett's going to be able to say, hey, we're calling his number right now and isolate, and he's going to burn people. I just watching him move around the court, he's a different
kind
of—
We're recording this, aren't we?
What's that?
We're recording this, aren't we?
Yeah, we always record, Frank, so we can play it back.
Yeah.
The one thing I do like is Coach Bennett, he seems to be starting his more, upperclassmen, bringing the freshmen off the bench, which I think is good, letting them, as you said, it puts a little less pressure on the first-year guys.
Yeah, and I think that you're seeing with Atkins, you're seeing, the benefit of being in the system for a year. You know, I think last year he was out there and it looked like he was kind of lost at times, and that's understandable. Where you're not doing all that in high school. You're not jumping out over on top of picks and cutting people off. He was blocking shots and rebounding and a much simpler game that he was playing.
Well, that kid's an athlete.
Yes.
He's got some real athletic skills.
Good quickness.
And that's the upside of this team is if they all take a deep breath and go out and do what they're supposed to be doing, can they get to that 60-point mark? And it's just going to take a couple guys really, taking that little half step or, a quarter step, a half step forward. Mitchell's one of them. Do you want the ball? Can we count on you to get 12, 14, 15 points a game?
Yeah, the challenge is going to be when you play a team, just to mention a team like Duke that plays defense, where are we going to score? Where are the points going to come from?
And if you don't really want the ball, that you won't catch the ball because they won't. And a good point guard won't throw it to you because he knows if you want it or not. And like I said, if you catch it and put the ball on the floor against the Duke or Carolina or someone like that, that ball doesn't come up a third of the times. It's gone.
Virginia plays Carolina on Sunday, January the 6th at 8:00 on ESPNU. What a great game that's going to be! I think we'll know a whole lot more about this team at or about that time.
That's a midterm exam for this basketball season right there.
There you go. I agree.
Don't have to win it. You just have to play well, be competitive, and as what Coach Bennett says, you want to be with 4 or 5 minutes to go, relevant and in the game with a chance to win.
And hopefully, Frank, a few moments ago, mentioned about Carolina developing as the season goes along. Hopefully, they won't be ready by January 6th.
Right.
Maybe by February sometime. But unfortunately, we do play them twice.
I'm just looking at...
it's a big game, and it's the first ACC game playing at home. And Virginia, I think Virginia's got a chance to win every game between now and then. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to.
It's
going to
happen, but yeah.
They got a chance, so that would be a nice win streak going into that Carolina game.
You know, one thing that you've got to like is I love Coach Bennett's coaching staff. I like Richie McKay. I watch the way he works around the bench. Jason Williford, a big friend of our show, has been on a number of times, and I've known him a long time and really like the way he works with the kids and the practices that we've been allowed to attend. I really like the way he gets in there, and he's in his warm-up pants and everything, and he's wrestling with the players, trying to show them how to play low-post defense. And
they only let you attend certain practices?
They don't let you in at all. They don't want you standing in the corner. Come on, we know how it was, Habo. Habo, we know.
I was lucky if I went to practice when I was a player.
We know that to be the case. All right, we're going to try to get Chris Wright on the phone here so we can bounce back to football for a minute because we know a lot of folks want to hear about what's going on in Charlottesville and the latest word. So we are reaching out to none other than the Sabres editor, Chris Wright. Dave Teal and Doug Dowdy and all the other beat writers have been, clicking away on their keyboards. And I haven't seen that many names tossed out there as potential candidates. We do know that former UVA graduate, 1982 graduate John Tenuta, who had coached at Marshall, Kansas State, SMU, Ohio State, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, and Notre Dame. And recently he was on Tom O'Brien's staff. Coaching defense and linebackers, he's available. And let me tell you something.
Wasn't he at Virginia before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We should share the whirlpool together.
Great guy.
Of that era.
Well, I actually was in school with this guy. He's a great guy. And I think he's earned his stripes in a lot of coaching stops.
But wasn't he like the defensive coordinator in the early period of Al Groh?
No. That's a no. Like I said, Georgia Tech.
He was at Georgia Tech.
He was at Georgia Tech during Al Groh's tenure.
You would see him on a Thursday night game. You'd see him standing up in the press box or the coach's box.
He didn't like to sit. He likes to stand.
Yeah.
He's anxious. I like the way he used to coach defense and the way they played defense back when he was doing it. There's this other name. Keith Willis is out there coaching the defensive line for Tom O'Brien for last dozen years, six years at Boston College and six at NC State. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers for 12 years. Habo, there you go. Your bias is coming through.
That's true.
But Willis is a tough-nosed hombre, and I'm sure he teaches some tough-nosed defense. And never hurts to have that kind of guy. There's only one other name that's bounced around there. One name that has not been written up, and he's out there, is Derek Dooley, who was released at Tennessee. Derek Dooley, I think he kind of rushed along through the process. I think he was at Louisiana Tech, and then he went to Tennessee. I think he skipped a step somewhere in there, and maybe that step should have been at Virginia. And I tell you what, an outstanding guy with an excellent coaching pedigree. His dad was Vince Dooley.
How quickly do you think they'll fill these spots? I mean, is this something they'll do in the next week or two, or could it linger into the after the first of the year?
I think the next 3 weeks will be very exciting. I think people are going to get interviewed. There's going to be a lot of conversations. There's probably conversations now with various handlers and go-betweens.
Agents.
Correct. But we can't say that.
I just did.
Yeah.
How about you say a lot? Hold on. Where's that 9 second cutoff there? Anyway, the point I'm making is
I mean, even I know agent is not a four-letter word. Well, A-G-E-N-T, that's five.
They're not supposed to be talking directly with the candidate though, right now.
I know.
So, anyway, the point being this, that there are people, I'm sure, that might be interested in making a transitional move for whatever reason.
And recruiting. Anybody going to get wishy-washy on, because it's just verbal commitment so far?
You know, I don't think that there'll be a lot of that. I think the players understand that Coach London is back and Lazor's back. And I think what we're going to have to do now is we're going to have to jump to break and we come back. Hopefully we can catch Chris on the other side. I know he had a basketball practice that he was coaching. So stay with us. We hope to have Chris on the other side.